Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello and welcome to another Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, our weekly programme looking at all things tech-related from a blind and partially sighted perspective. If you want to get in contact with the show, you can drop us an email. techtalk@rnib.org.uk is our email address. That's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Coming up, we'll be hearing the experiences of another one of RNIB's technology volunteers. We'll be diving into the NVDA Coach add-on that helps you get to grips with the NVDA screen reader. And we'll be talking you through the Card World app. Hubert Pavelkovic and Jackie Brown joining me this week. Let's see what's grabbing our attention. Jackie, I'll start with you.
This week I have just set up Gemini on my Google Home speakers.
Oh, nice. It's
a bit of a fiddle, I would say, to start it off, but it's really good. I've got a nice male voice on there now, and I've got Gemini going on it. You don't have to buy new speakers, unlike the A-Lady, where if you want the A-Lady Plus, you have to buy certain speakers that are compatible. But I've still got the original Google Home and the Google Home Mini speakers, and I can use those. So what you do is you go into Gemini on your iPhone or Android device. So just go into the Gemini app, and you have to go to Account and Settings, which is where you find your name. You double tap on that, and then you have to go to connect to, there is a list of apps that you need to connect to, and the one you're looking for is Google Home. This is the tricky bit, because the page keeps refreshing. So when you get to the Google Home, it very often by that time darts away back to the start of the list. I just double tapped eventually. I managed to get to that point and just double tap on, because it's off by default, as are most of them. If you want things like photos and you want other stuff, Google Tasks, Google Keep, all that sort of Google family, if you want all those turned on, you can turn them on in that place because they're off by default. But I just wanted the Google Home turned on for the speakers. So I managed to get that, and then I followed the setup process once I was told that Gemini was available. So it is a bit fiddly, but it is doable. And during the setup process, you get to choose your voice. You get to choose whether you want parental controls, things like that. But I just sort of found a male voice because it lets you listen to the voices. And I picked it, and he sounds really actually quite nice. So I did that, and I've set it up. Just a warning towards the end of the setup that there is something that they offer you called Google Plus. Yes, you guessed it, a premium service that you can pay for.
Of course.
Yeah. I'm not sure how much it is. I opted out of that because I thought I'm not going to be paying for something at this stage. I don't know what the regular service is going to be like, but it seems good. I've had a little play with it. And once you set it up, that's you. You get an email confirming that Google Home has been enabled, activated for Gemini. So, and there are the usual permissions that you have to grant, of course, in the app that you agree with. So, so far, so good. But it isn't going to cost you anything if you've already got a home, Google Home or Google Home Mini speaker. But the setup, you need to use Gemini app to do that. So if you don't have Google Gemini on your phone, particularly on iOS, because it's built into Android, but if you don't have it on your iPhone, then download it from the App Store. It's free. And then in there, you go to Account and Settings and start up the Gemini set up. Now it is rolling out in different areas. I think it is now available kind of UK wide. So give it a go. And if it isn't, and you go into Gemini and you find that you're not being offered it, just wait, because you will get it.
Yeah, as with all of these things, they're always rolled out gradually
Yeah.
nowadays. I'm a bit jealous of this, I've got to be honest, because obviously I was talking last week, I think it was, about some of the new features on the doorbell with the AI notifications and the AI descriptions, and I'm imagining you could probably ask, if this is on, you could probably ask your speaker what happened or who's at the door or something. I would have thought, I don't know for certain.
Yeah, I think you can. If you go for the Google Plus, it gives you more facilities, I gather. Tells you all about stuff that goes on around your home. It becomes really interactive. I didn't sign up for that, as I say, because I wasn't sure how much it was. It seems that they only tell you how much it is when you sign up, and so that's a bit
Yeah.
naughty. So I didn't do it, but if anybody else knows or they've got it, we'd love to hear from you, because I think it is going to be a lot better, because I think in later times, I think Google hasn't been as good on the speakers. You've asked it things at times and it says, sorry, I can't help with that, or I don't know, or whatever. And I think it has got a bit lazy. So now Gemini has given it some vitality and we've got some new voices to choose from. You can go into the settings after you've set it up and you can choose a different voice and things if you want, but certainly it's worth having, certainly the free version.
That sounds quite interesting because I mean, I do have a very, very old Google Home speaker, which probably wouldn't work, which is very slow. So I would have to upgrade it anyway. But it has tempted me to do so because I love using Gemini and I use it more than ChatGPT and others. I find Gemini just a lot more intuitive and a
I
lot
do.
better for what I need it.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
You will be able to use your old Google Home speakers because mine's are the first versions.
Yeah.
So you don't have to buy a new speaker to upgrade to this, where you do with the A Lady. So I would give it a go, Hubert, and see how far you get, because I've got a Google Home in the living room, which is the first version, and I've got two little Google Minis. I've got one in the kitchen and I've got one in our bedroom. So they are all the first generation. And when I activated Gemini on the Google Home, it's done it on all my devices. You just choose all your devices and it does it. It does update.
So we've got Sonos speakers all over the house, so I really have no need for a Google Home speaker, but I
Yeah.
do want to buy one just to try these out. And I can already hear my wife saying, "No, stop it. We don't need it. It's ridiculous. We've got plenty of speakers." But one of them in particular still has the Google Assistant on it. We're still kind of clinging on to the Google Assistant, but I really don't see Gemini coming to the Sonos anytime soon.
No, because I don't think the A Lady is either. The A Lady Plus, I don't think it's coming to Sonos either, so I've heard. So,
No, I don't
no.
think so. But in case you've not followed this, by the way, and you're wondering why we're kind of laughing at that, Sonos and Google in particular are not very good friends recently. Let's just say that.
No.
Sonos is very quickly dropping support for Google on their later devices. So I might be hunting around for a Google Home somewhere. We'll see. Hubert, what about you? Anything caught your eye this week?
I've heard about this new device being launched, and when you hear a new device and you read up an article about it and you're going, yeah, this sounds great, but how does it work? So the Braille Bloom, Perkins Braille Bloom has been launched, and this device connects to your Perkins Brailler, yes, no matter whether it's from 1962 or 2025, and what it does is it allows you to use it as a keyboard for devices such as phones or computers or tablets. And that is all I have, information-wise, about this. And to me, the first thing I thought when I saw this is, that's all great. How does it connect to the Perkins? How does it actually then work out what you are typing on the Perkins Brailler? in order to then put it into keyboard actions or text onto your device, whatever you've got it connected to. Because you can connect the Braille Bloom via Bluetooth to your phone, tablet or computer. But how does it actually interact with the Perkins Brailler without downloading and reading the full quick start guide? I don't know yet. But that's something I've seen this morning as of this recording. And I'm like, okay, how does this work? It sounds amazing for Perkins Brailler users. But I think we need to know more about how this works.
I think it connects, from what I've heard, and I don't know any more than you really, Hubert, but I think that it connects by removing the base plate of the Perkins, so the sort of the board bit underneath, and that is a bit the way that Page Braille Connect works as well, that you take off the bottom and you put this little plate on, and you screw it in, and there's a USB cable poking out of it, which you then connect to your phone. And then you go to a web page, and that's how it works with Page Connect. Now, I don't know how different Bloom is, so watch this space, guys, because we're going to be finding out more about it. So if we can get them on, or find out at least a bit more about how you do it. But it is intriguing. Unlike Page Connect, I think Bloom connects via USB and Bluetooth. Page Connect is just USB, I believe. So, yeah, let's see what happens with this. It sounds good.
I was just going to bring up the Page Braille, actually, because that's when I saw this as well, that was the first thing that I thought of. Like, isn't this similar to the Page thing?
Yeah,
I didn't realise that, the difference. I suppose that is one difference then, if that's only USB. The interesting thing with this is that Page Braille was a third-party thing, whereas this Braille Bloom is actually from Perkins themselves, as far as I understand it. So this is interesting. I mean, I always jump to schools with this sort of technology, because I remember back in the days when I was at school, and for most subjects, like this was particularly true at primary school, because for most subjects in secondary school, we were using like Braille Sense, or I think it was like the Braille Sense U2 that was the big thing at the time. But for subjects that needed Braille, we would use the Perkins, and then the VI assistant would literally transcribe, like literally sit writing out in between the Braille what we'd written, and then the teacher could mark it. So I mean, and that was a slow process, as you can imagine. So if this kind of bridges that gap a little bit, that's awesome. If you can Braille, but at the same time, just get that input brought straight up onto, you know, teacher's device or the whatever device they're using, that's awesome. That's a great idea.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what happens, because as you say, I imagine it is geared towards the education market, and it's a great way for teachers to see in real time what a pupil is Brailing, because there are a lot of teachers and classroom assistants who obviously most of them don't read Braille, so they have to know what the student is writing. So that is really interesting.
Well, that's the other thing, because we did have quite a few who couldn't read Braille, and obviously the teachers couldn't read Braille, which to be fair, they're not really expected to.
No,
but it did mean that, especially like, I mean, I was no good at maths, I was terrible at maths, but when you were doing like your more advanced equations and stuff, when you was obviously you've got to show you're working out, and when they came to check the work with us, it was only afterwards we would realize or be told what we'd done wrong. Whereas if they were going around checking people's work and they could see what they were doing, they could straight away kind of go, you might want to just double check that, you know.
Yeah,
whereas we didn't have that. So if that gives you that as well, yeah, I'd love to find out more about this. So I got a new headset recently. I didn't buy it. This was from work. So I don't know how much it is, because it is genuinely a work headset, so they paid for it. But basically my old wired headset that I use for work had just completely fallen apart on me, literally. So I requested a new one, and they've given me this headset. Now I think the name of it is the Poly Voyager Focus 2. At least that's what it was on our work catalogue thing. I think that's the name of it. And what's kind of cool about it is it's a wireless headset, although you can use it via USB-C if you want to. Like, it's got USB-C for charging, but if you plug that into your laptop, then you can use it wired as well as charging it. So that's pretty cool. It's also got one of those little dongles that you plug in, and it connects that way. And it's also got Bluetooth. Now, what's quite cool about it is that you can't have wired and Bluetooth at the same time, but you can have the USB dongle and Bluetooth at the same time. So it means that if you've got more than one computer, or if you've got a computer and a phone or whatever, you could plug the dongle into your laptop and connect via Bluetooth on your phone, and you will get both devices coming through.
At the same time?
Well, sort of. So they can't both speak at the same time. Like, if one's playing audio, then the other one sort of, you know, the other one can't play through. But you've got sort of both devices connected together. So if one's, when one's silent, the other one can sort of, so if I've got my phone connected, but Jaws is speaking and my phone goes off, I can just press control to shut Jaws up, and then I can use it with my phone then. So it's kind of like multi-point pairing.
It sounds like my Shox OpenCom 2, but the only improvement I see here is, because obviously using it for audio editing via Bluetooth, it's not the done thing really because of latency. However, the fact that you do have the wired option, as you mentioned, see, that to me is really an appeal, because I can use it via the dongle if I want to and connect to Bluetooth on my phone. But if I want to use audio editing, I can remove the dongle, put the cable in, there we go.
Well, that's really good, because I had something similar that I demoed last year for Tech Talk, and it was a similar kind of thing. It worked on Bluetooth and it worked on a little dongle that you plug in, and it had a good range as well, especially if you had the dongle, you know, it was really good. I walked all around the house with it, and where my stuff is all upstairs, and I walked around downstairs to the furthest corner, and it still picked up. But it did have a tendency to play up a bit when you wanted to switch from one to the other. It wasn't, when you started using it, it wasn't as smooth as it could have been. So does yours transfer from one to the other very easily, Callum?
Yeah, it's fairly seamless. The only problem I do find is that, say I'm using my phone and then, I don't know, say an Outlook message comes through on my laptop.
Yeah.
As I said, they both can't kind of stream at the same time. I don't know any headset that does that.
No, I don't.
Although that would be good to know. So they can't both talk at the same time. So if they try and do that, it's kind of like it doesn't know which one to go with. So you get this weird kind of stuttery, like, mix. Because if VoiceOver goes silent, then you'll hear Jaws for a second. But then if VoiceOver talks again, it's like, I don't know if there's a way to sort of prioritize devices. So that's the only time when things go a bit weird, is that if they do try to talk at the same time, it can all just go a bit stuttery and, you know, a bit odd. But generally speaking, no, it's pretty seamless. Yeah, Poly Voyager Focus 2 is the name of that headset. Not really sure on cost. I probably should have checked that really, shouldn't I, before I started talking about it. But it's worth checking out if you're interested in that sort of thing. Well, a lot to get into this week, as always. Stick with us. This is Tech Talk. Last week, we spoke to Tony Gebhard, the developer of the NVDA Coach add-on. And what this is basically an add-on for the NVDA screen reader that just helps you get to grips with it. Because this is often the challenge. You know, you get a screen reader, and yeah, okay, there's a user guide, but there's so many features and they're often quite long and quite detailed and quite overwhelming, really, especially if you're not the sort of person who is great with documentation. If you're the sort of person who, like me, learns by getting hands-on and actually trying things out and putting them to use, then this is a great way to do it. So I thought I'd just give you a quick overview of what exactly this is, how you can get it installed, and how it works. So, the first thing you'll want to bear in mind is that you have got to have NVDA installed beforehand. So this is kind of one of the downsides, and this is no one's fault. It's just the way NVDA works. You can't install it along with an add-on at the same time. So you would have to get NVDA installed or possibly get someone to help you install it if you're really unfamiliar with screen readers. And from then, you can then install the add-on and get going. So I've already got NVDA installed and up and running. And to keep things tidy, I'm just focused on my desktop at the minute. So the first thing that I'm going to do is go into the NVDA menu with the NVDA key and N. And the NVDA key is either going to be insert, if you've got an insert key, or caps lock. So in my case, it's caps lock. So I'm going to press caps lock and N for November.
NVDA menu.
And then we can arrow through down here. We've got a few options, but the one we want to go to is tools. And just to save time, I'm just going to press the shortcut. So press T to go into the tools menu.
View log L.
And then A for add-on store.
Add-on store. Available add-ons tab selected.
And then we've got available add-ons. So now what we've got is a list of all the add-ons that can be downloaded. And it's a huge list. There is pretty much everything you could want in there, really. So we want to look for the search field. So I'm just going to press tab to go through this.
Sort by column, channel, combo box, stable, include incompatible add-ons, search, edit, alt plus s, blank.
So you could have pressed alt plus s to go there as well, but I always forget that. So I'm going to type in the word coach in here.
Available add-ons, list alt plus a. NVDA coach, interactive screen reader training, status, available version, 1.5.4.
And it's got some status information there, and you noticed it said status available. So I'm going to press enter on this.
Context menu. Install I.
And then we've got the install button, so we want to click on that.
Add-on store, available add-ons, stable, dialogue NVDA coach, interactive screen reader training, available add-ons, list alt plus a. NVDA coach, interactive screen reader training, status, downloading, available.
So it's downloading it. These would usually only take a few seconds to download, depending on your internet connection, of course, but they're only pretty small. So what we can do now is just press escape to go out of it, because it's been a few seconds now and we've not got any errors or anything, so I'm pretty confident that it's downloaded by now. So press escape to get out of the add-on store, and then it will prompt us to restart NVDA to apply the add-on. So I'll press escape.
At restart NVDA dialog, changes were made to add-ons. You must restart NVDA for these changes to take effect. Would you like to restart now? Yes button, alt plus Y.
So press yes. Give that a couple of seconds to...
Loading
there
NVDA.
We go.
Desktop list, NVDA 3 of 15.
So NVDA is restarted and we're now back to the desktop. And the coach add-on should now be installed. Now, there's a couple of ways that you can get to this. You can either press the shortcut NVDA plus Shift plus C, so all of those keys held down together, or you can go into the NVDA menu, which we saw before, the NVDA plus N, then press H to go to the help menu, and you've got a bunch of options in there, such as the user guide and what's new and command reference, but in there will be a new option at the bottom of that screen called NVDA coach, which is a really neat way of doing it. I like that. I love that it appears within the help menu as well. So I'm going to press the shortcut key. So NVDA Shift C and the coach should come up.
NVDA coach, choose a lesson dialog. Browse lessons and resources below. Right arrow expands a section, left arrow collapses it. Press enter or the open slash start button to activate the selected item. Press F4 for help, F5 for feedback, F6 to toggle sounds, F7 or the profile button to set your name and instructor. Tree view, level 0 introduction slash about NVDA coach 1 of 8.
Isn't that nice? You've got all the instructions that you need right there as soon as you open it up. You can of course press Control to silence that announcement once you've got used to it and you know the shortcuts. You don't have to listen to all of that. But the first thing we've got is introduction to the NVIDIA Coach add-on itself. I will quickly skip over that, and I'm just going to do the down arrow so you can hear how the lessons are grouped.
Getting started with NVDA, 4 of 14 complete, collapsed, 2 of 8, level 0.
I've already completed a few of these just to test it out. So there it says 4 of 14 complete in that particular section.
Your keyboard, 0 of 3 complete, collapsed, 3 of 8, level 0. Reading and moving through text, 0 of 8 complete, collapsed, 4 of 8, level 0. Browse mode and web navigation, 0 of 10 complete, collapsed, 5 of 8, level 0.
So you'll hear you've got these different categories, and it says collapsed. So what that means is these what we're going through at the minute are different chapters, and then the things within those are lessons that relate to those. So if I go up to, if I go back to the first section, the getting started.
Your keyboard, getting started with NVDA, 4 of 14 complete, collapsed, 2 of 8, level 0.
Now if I press the right arrow to expand this, we'll then see what's in there. And we'll also hear what I've completed so far. So press the right arrow.
Expanded. 14 items.
So we've got 14 lessons within this chapter. So I'll press the down arrow.
Level 1 understanding command categories done, 1 of 14. Meet your NVDA key done, 2 of 14, level 1.
So you can hear it says done at the end of these titles. So these are the ones that I've completed.
Read the title bar done, 3 of 14, level 1. Read the time done, 4 of 14, level 1.
So I've already completed this one, but you can go back to them whenever you want. And you don't have to do all of these as well. If you're already familiar, for example, with the NVDA key, or you're familiar with how to read the title bar, just skip over it. There's no particular set way that you've got to do these. There's no particular order that you've got to do them in. You can just go at your own pace. And if, like me, for example, you're already quite familiar with NVDA, but you just want to brush up on a couple of things, and you want to jump back down to the more advanced topics, you can do that. So just to give you an example of how the lessons work, let's go to this one here, the reading the time. So I'm focused on that, so I just need to press enter.
NVDA Coach. Edit read only multi-line. Welcome to NVDA Coach. Hello, Callum. Starting lesson, read the time. Press enter or the next step button to advance. F1 repeats the instruction, F2 gives a hint, escape stops the lesson. Step 1 of 2. Sighted users can glance at the clock in the corner of the screen. NVDA plus F12 speaks the current time without you having to navigate anywhere. NVDA can tell you the current time and date without leaving what you are doing. Press enter to continue.
Okay, so it's given us a little overview there. So we'll press enter.
Step 2 of 2. Try it now. Hold your NVDA key and press F12, the last function key on the top row of your keyboard, usually on the far right. You should hear NVDA announce the current time. Quick tip, if you press NVDA plus F12 twice in rapid succession, NVDA reads the date instead of the time. Give both a try if you like, then press enter here to continue.
All right, let's give it a go. So, NVDA and F12.
10:28.
Oh, would you look at that, we got the time. Let's try pressing that twice quickly.
10:20, the 1st of May, 2026.
So that works brilliantly. So now we can press enter to continue.
Lesson complete, read the time. Well done, Callum. Press NVDA plus Shift plus C to open the lesson picker and choose your next lesson or continue to the next chapter. Control plus N moves to the next lesson in this category, or Control plus R repeats this one.
So we can move to the next lesson in that category, or as I said, because there's no particular way that you've got to do this, you could just go up to another lesson entirely if you wanted to. I'll just go through a couple more of these. So let's press Control N for the next one in this category.
Moving to, check your battery status. Starting lesson, check your battery status. Step 1 of 2. If you are using a laptop, NVDA can tell you your battery level and whether the charger is connected, without touching the mouse or navigating to the taskbar. Press NVDA plus Shift plus B to have NVDA announce the current battery status. NVDA will say something like battery, 74%, not charging, or battery, 91%, charging. This command only works on laptops and tablets that have a battery. On a desktop computer, NVDA may say nothing or report no battery found. Press enter to continue.
Okay, let's press enter.
Step 2 of 2. Try it now. Hold your NVDA key and shift, then press B, listen for NVDA to announce the battery level. If you are on a laptop, you will hear the percentage and charging state. If you are on a desktop, NVDA may report no battery. Press enter when you are ready to continue.
Now if you were on a desktop, you could of course just skip this one. It would still show up, but Again, you wouldn't have to do it. So let's give this command a try. NVDA Shift B.
100% plugged in.
So my laptop battery is 100% and I've got it on charge at the minute. So we get that nice simple announcement. Press enter on this.
Lesson complete. Check your battery status. Well done, Callum. Press NVDA plus Shift plus C to open the lesson picker and choose your next lesson or continue to the next chapter. Control plus N moves to the next lesson in this category, or Control plus R repeats this one.
Let's do one more. So let's do Control N.
Moving to Stop NVDA from talking. Starting lesson, Stop NVDA from talking. Step 1 of 3. Sometimes NVDA talks too much or you want it to stop mid-sentence. The control key by itself immediately silences speech. This is called stopping speech, and it works in Narrator, JAWS, and VoiceOver as well. It is a universal screen reader convention. Press Enter to continue. Step 2 of 3. There is also a second option, the Shift key. Pressing Shift pauses NVDA's speech mid-sentence. Press Shift again and NVDA resumes reading right where it left off. This pause and resume behavior is specific to NVDA. It is useful when you need a brief moment to focus, for example, reading a phone number from a document while you dial it. Press Shift once to pause, then press Shift again to continue. Control stops completely. Shift pauses and resumes. Both are worth knowing. Press Enter to continue. Step 3 of 3. A note on practicing these keys. Pressing Control or Shift during an active lesson would interfere with the lesson itself, so reliable in-lesson practice is not possible here. Instead, build the habit naturally. The next time NVDA reads something too long or too fast, reach for Control to stop it. When you need a moment mid-reading, try Shift to pause and resume. You will discover both reflexes quickly in real use. Press Enter to finish this lesson.
So where it doesn't make sense to try something in the lesson, it won't give you that option. Well, I say option. It won't give you that prompt. You can do whatever you want in here. It's not going to... It gives you a nice little sandbox environment, as Tony was saying last week. So it doesn't... It's not going to break anything, but it also doesn't stop you from doing anything. So if you did want to practice that, if you wanted to press Shift or Control while it was reading that content, you still could have done. It's just saying that, say, for example, if you pressed Control, it would have stopped reading that particular content. But you can, it's reading it all in one go, but you can use your up and down arrow keys to read these a line at a time as well. Let's press enter on this and we should complete that lesson.
Lesson complete. Stop NVDA from talking. Well done, Callum. Press NVDA plus Shift plus C to open the lesson pick.
So it just carries on like that, really. So really, really nice, really simple steps. Just one thing at a time. Just very nicely talks you through it. You can exit this anytime you want. You don't have to do everything all in one go. It is honestly as flexible as you want it to be. So to get out of this, we can press Escape, and it will give us some warning as well before we exit. So if you accidentally press Escape, it's not going to just disappear on you. So if I press Escape on here.
Press Escape two more times to close NVDA coach.
Okay, one more time.
Press Escape two more times to close NVDA coach.
Oh, okay.
Press Escape one more time to close NVDA coach. Press desktop list, NVDA 3 of 15.
So I guess that could be a little bit clearer. So what that means is you've got to press, where it says press Escape two more times or one more time, you've got to actually press them in quick succession. So really, the way to get out of it is to press Escape three times kind of quickly, like we did with the speaking the time thing. You want to do it that way. I suppose that instruction could be a little bit clearer, but still, it is a nice, easy way to get out of it. And if we were to go back into it now, it should have saved where we were. So just quickly, I'll go back into it with NVDA Shift C.
NVDA coach, choose a lesson dialog. Browse lessons and resources below. Right arrow expands a section, left arrow collapses it. Press enter or the open slash start button to activate the selected item. Press F.
We've already heard that announcement. We're back on the introduction to NVDA coach, but if we go down.
Getting started with NVDA, 6 of 14 complete collapsed, 2 of 8 level 0.
Now it says 6 of 14 complete, so if we expand that.
Expanded. 40 level 1 understanding command categories done 1 of 14. Meet your NVDA key done 2 of, read the title bar done 3 of 14, read the time done 4 of 14 level 1.
These 4 were already done, and if we go down again.
Check your battery status done 5 of 14 level 1. Stop NVDA from talking done 6 of 14 level 1.
And those two are now done as well, which they weren't before. If it's not done, it will just read the title of the lesson.
Find out where you are 7 of 14 level 1. Move between controls with tab 8 of 14 level 1.
So it's not saying done there just because we haven't completed those. So that's how you can keep track of where you are. I'm just going to do escape 3 times quickly to get out of this.
NVDA, press escape 2 more times. Desktop list, NVDA 3 of 15.
And there you go. So that is how the NVDA Coach add-on works. This is, if you're new to screen readers or at least new to NVDA, this is absolutely fantastic. It's a really good way of getting this, you know, learning these commands, beautifully flexible. I'm really, really impressed with this. It's a great conversation last week with Tony. If you can go back and have a listen to that, I would recommend it. But that is how the add-on works. And yeah, Tony Gebhard has done a fantastic job with that. If you're new to NVDA, or if this add-on has helped you out, let us know. We'd love to hear about it. techtalk@rnib.org.uk.
You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and we have just listened to a great panel here at the Education Transitions Conference with students talking about their experiences. One of the students was Ramnik, who joins us now. Ramnik, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
Can you tell us a little bit about some of the challenges you've experienced throughout your education?
Yeah, so I think the main thing is I've never really received the right support for my vision impairment. And the main reason for that is I think institutions don't know how to support students with sight loss to the extent that they need. And at every stage of my transition from one point to the next, I've had to advocate for myself, for my needs, and connecting the different dots within the institution to make sure that I am thriving and not surviving.
You've mentioned in particular the support you received from Thomas Pocklington Trust throughout kind of your more university experience. Can you tell us a little bit about what support that was and how valuable it was?
I was in my second year of university, my undergraduate, and unfortunately the institution I was at was not providing support under the Equality Act that they should be for reasonable adjustments. And this was despite a document outlined by the university telling them that they should. So I had reached out to Thomas Pocklington Trust to essentially ensure that my voice wasn't the only voice that needed to be heard. And TPT came in by ensuring that the support was not only outlined but needed to be put in place, and that the institution was being held accountable when it was or when it was not.
Now, there was a talk of technology during the panel, and you know, a lot of people talked about kind of specialist tech they were using. You yourself mentioned AI and technology, something I find fascinating because I use AI a lot myself. So can you tell us a little bit about what sort of AI technology you use and how you find using it and how it helps you?
Yeah, so I'm a PhD researcher at ECR in my first year, and my research is focusing on the applications of AI for the visually impaired. And I think AI is great because, well, it's a mainstream piece of technology, and it's where the innovation is currently at, meaning it's really is moving at the speed of light in terms of the way it's sort of emerging. And I think AI is great because it provides a level of customizability to meet the user's needs. And I think that's what is currently missing within the technology landscape for the visually impaired communities and in places such as DSA, which is very much a box in which visually impaired people have to fit into. Whereas I think AI is great in terms of you sort of mold it around to your needs, what you want it to do, and sort of how you want it to help you in your daily work, in your education, and so on and so forth.
Which particular AI tools do you find most helpful to you at the moment?
So I use NotebookLM. NotebookLM allows you to sort of summarise documents, links. I particularly really enjoy using its podcast feature. So my current use case for it is I take some of my literature, so some papers that I need to read, and I will put it into NotebookLM, and I will have a two-way podcast where I can really listen to what the key sort of findings of the paper are, so I know whether this paper is relevant for my research or not. And the other AI tool I've been using is something called Anara AI. And this tool enables you to, again, get a summary of documents. But what I love about Anara is that it provides you with references as to where to look in terms of its statements that it gives you how it's being backed up from the documents it's given you.
Which actually leans in quite nicely to my next question, is how do you manage, you know, the fact that AI can sometimes hallucinate things? So, you know, it's good that if you use AI to read your own papers and stuff, but when it comes to using AI for research, do you do it a lot? And if so, how do you manage any particular misinformation or hallucinations?
I think that's great. I think it's having a good sort of a workflow that you have a place for that criticality and that validation. I think I always sort of question as to if a statement is written by an AI, where is it being backed up? And that's my job. So it's great. It can sometimes, depending on what tools you use, take you longer to do things. But I think between Notebook LM and Anara, I found that because it's solely relying on the documents they've given it and not the whole internet, it sort of limits the number of hallucinations it can give you. But I think the key thing is really on the onus of the person themselves and saying, okay, is what I'm hearing actually valid? Is it speaking the truth, or is it some gobbledygook?
Great way of putting it. Ramnik, thank you very much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
Today, I am speaking to another one of our wonderful technology volunteers. And this time with me, I have Adrian Clark. Adrian, you're very welcome.
Thank you. Nice to speak to you.
I wonder if you could start by telling us what part of the country you are in and the area that you serve as a volunteer, first of all.
I live just outside of Chepstow, and the area that I've served as a roving volunteer has stretched across from Chepstow, right the way across to Haverford West, and as far north as Bilth Wells.
Yeah, so it's quite an area.
Yeah.
Yeah. What made you decide to become a volunteer? How did you come by that?
I started with RNIB several years ago, after having heard an advert on the radio appealing for volunteers for the transcription service. So I started the transcription work in the Cardiff studios before lockdown, which ground to a halt during lockdown, of course. And during that period, I was asked if I knew anything about the tech side, because they were desperate for volunteers, for people who needed help in this area. So with the help of the wonderful Hannah Rowlett, I started off a little hub in Merthyr and started my roaming volunteer role.
Excellent. And how often does the Merthyr Tech Hub meet?
We meet once a month, the second Wednesday of every month. Just a small group. There's about 8 people drift in and out of it. It's usually about 6 or 7 attend every time. We discuss the issues that the sight impaired have, both locally and on a more macro. And it's developed into something of a social as well. The people look forward to it as somewhere to go to meet others. The feeling I get mostly is the isolation that some of the sight impaired people feel, the frustration of over helpful people and under helpful people as well. It's made me very, very aware of what it means to be sight impaired.
And what kind of help do you give the people who come in, Adrian? What are the most, if you like, popular or challenging products that people ask you to help with?
Ranging from accessibility issues through to advice, and no more than advice, on what they should be doing with their devices, transferring photos, documents, things that they can't see, discussing the various IT aids like the magnifiers, like synaptic applications on the phone, general accessibility issues on the devices.
Yeah, because I think, from what I know anyway, people who are on their sight loss journey, they really want to be able to keep in touch with their family and friends, and very often they struggle to use their phones or tablets. They think when they're losing their sight that this is what's going to happen, that they won't be able to stay in touch, when in fact people like you offer a volunteer service where they can go in the Wales, in your area in Wales, and actually get some support. Do you do home visits as well?
Yes. Since starting on the with the TFL team, I've done a lot of visits across South Wales, and I really, really get a kick out of it. I think I may have mentioned to you in the past that the thing that really drives me is when somebody says to me at the conclusion, they'll say to me, if there's one thing I've got out of this meeting, it's this, or I can work this, I can do it now. That to me is a key driver. I feel humbled sometimes at the ability some people have to get about to do things. And very often just this last little brick in the wall of being able to use their tech device makes their impaired life a little more bearable. So yeah, I get a huge kick out of that.
So that's why we decided to have this little spot on Tech Talk called Volunteer Voices, because, you know, the volunteers like yourself do so much for our customers. And, you know, without your input, we just wouldn't be able to reach everybody across the UK. So what would you say, Adrian, to anybody who was perhaps thinking, listen to this program, maybe it's a customer who has some really good resources and is quite good with technology. What would you say to encourage somebody to become a volunteer for RNIB if they wanted to, or they were thinking about giving up some of their free time? What would your advice be?
Be prepared to be a little bit humbled, first of all, as I am. If you want real satisfaction out of helping people for no reward other than the feeling that you've really helped somebody, then this is for you.
That's brilliant. Thank you very much for coming on today to talk to us, Adrian. And thank you again for all the wonderful work that you do in your area and for supporting blind and partially sighted people. And if anyone is interested in, you know, exploring the role of a volunteer, please do get in touch with the RNIB volunteering team. And we look forward to welcoming you. Thank you, Adrian.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Time to play a game here on RNIB Tech Talk. So a few episodes ago, I showed you an app called Dice World, one that in the blind and partially sighted community, I think a lot of people have been playing probably for over 12 years or 13 years like me, which is a selection of six different dice-related games that you can play with people around the world or with a computer character. Now, the same developer has released a new app called Card World, which, as the name suggests, is like Dice World, but card games instead of dice games. And it's fairly new, but as with Dice World, the developer has made sure that accessibility is there from the ground up, which is the real highlight, and I think a really good sign of any developer. So I'm going to show you a little bit of it. It's still new, so there's only two card games available, unlike six in Dice World, but it's still quite fun. So we're going to take a look at the home screen and also play a little tutorial of Rummy to see how you find it.
Card World. Stopping Braille screen input. Opening Card World. Card World. Loading. Huber 3001. Level 2. 86% to level 3. 61 gems. Double tap to view profile. Gold member. Button.
Okie dokie, so a few bits of information there. You have my username there, should you wish to play me. I'm new to it, so I'm level 2, nearly level 3. Gold member, yes, I have paid for the subscription currently, mainly just to see really what it's all about, but it's absolutely not required. So you can enjoy it for free if you so wish. There's no requirement on it. So that's the first part on the screen.
Live Lobby. You are in the lobby and discoverable for challenges. 22 players in lobby. Button.
So this is how many players are online. Now, if you do double tap on this, you will be able to access forums as well. However, forums are hidden behind a paywall. They are behind a subscription. And according to what I've seen online, this is more to put off potential scammers or potential kind of dodgy people to going into these forums because they have to pay for the ability to access them. So I'm not fully against it if it will actually bring that sort of result.
Play game. Button.
Simple. Play game. This is where you're going to start a new game.
Free gems. Button.
Free gems. I'm not sure exactly what the gems do. I think they allow you to do bonus turns in games. That's my understanding.
Results. 3 completed games. Heading.
So 3 completed games. I've actually surrendered games due to inactivity, so we're not going to look at that.
Bottom section. Heading.
In the bottom section, you've got...
Statistics. Button.
You can look at your stats.
Leaderboard. Button.
Leaderboards.
Achievements. Button.
And achievements.
Forum. Button.
There is the forum as well.
Store. Button.
You can go to the store and buy potential things. I've not looked there, to be honest.
Settings. Button.
You can change all sorts of settings here, including individual game settings, but that may be a subscription. But we're actually going to play a game.
Play game. COD World. Play Gin Rummy. Button.
Now, I'm not going to fully explain the rules of each game here. I'll leave that for you to kind of look at, because you can look at help tutorials for each thing. But we will look at tutorial of Rummy.
Play Rummy 500. Button.
So these are the two options. I've not played Rummy 500. I'm going to play Rummy...
Play Gin Rummy. Button.
This one.
Versus Computer. Online match. Play tutorial. Learn the basics. Button.
We'll do this.
Step 1 of 9. Welcome to practice. Welcome to practice. The game screen has 3 zones. Your opponent is at the top. The draw and discard piles are in the middle. Your hand is at the bottom. I'll walk you through a practice hand step by step. Next. Step 2 of COD World. Practice hand. Skip practice. Step 2 of 9. Your hand. Your hand. Your hand has 10 cards. Swipe past this panel to explore each one. You have 2 runs already formed. 3, 4, 5 of hearts and 7, 8, 9 of spades. The remaining cards are dead wood.
Okay, so we're not going to explore my full hand because it told us the main things. We already have some runs formed, which is great because it helps us to get rid of cards. And the point of this game is at the end of each round, you need to be left with as little dead wood, i.e. the cards you cannot use at the moment, as possible.
Next, step 3 of 9. Melds explained. Melds are groups of 3 or more cards that score 0. A run is consecutive cards of the same suit. A set is cards of the same rank. Your 2 runs, hearts 3, 4, 5 and spades 7, 8, 9, are automatically detected and grouped together in your hand.
So that's useful to know. So that might make your turn a bit easier.
Next, button. Step 4 of 9. Draw a card. Each, your hand. Skip practice. Step, draw a card. Each turn starts by drawing a card. You can draw from the face-down deck or the face-up discard pile. The deck is below. Double tap it to draw. Draw pile. Step 5 of 9. Card drawn. You drew the Ace of Diamonds. Your hand now has 11 cards. After drawing, you must discard 1 card to get back to 10.
Okay, so I've drawn a card from the draw pile. It was an ace that came out. So now I need to discard a card. And there you need to look carefully because, one, you need to look at if you're close to a combination of cards or a run or something else or a set. But also you need to look at the highest values and get rid of them. You need that score to be as low as possible if you can help it. But at the same time, you don't want to ruin potential combinations.
Ace of Diamonds. 3 of Diamonds. King of Diamonds. 2 of Clubs. Ace of Spades. Ace of Spades. Button.
So this is what the cards we've got.
Ace of Spades. 2 of Clubs. But King of Diamonds. 3 of Diamonds. Button. Ace of Diamonds. Button.
Now I've got an Ace of Diamonds. So if I get 2 of Diamonds, I can have an Ace, 2 and 3 of Diamonds. But the king is rather far away to get to. I'd need few other cards in order to form a combination with the king. So I'm actually going to get rid of the king.
Next. Button. Step 6 of 9. Discard a card. Now discard the King of Diamonds. It's worth 10 points of deadwood. The most in your hand. Find the king below. Then tap it to open the discard action sheet.
Okay. So, as I mentioned, it's the King of Diamonds we want to discard, and the tutorial is suggesting us to do that because it's trying to teach us the game rather than tell us exactly how to play it. It won't always be that easy when you're playing. You're going to have to do some of that thinking for yourself.
2 of Club, King of Diamonds, but... COD World, discard the King of Diamonds, button. Step 7 of practice hand, heading. Skip practice. Step 7 of 9. Deadwood score. Deadwood score. After discarding the king, your deadwood dropped from 16 to just 7. Deadwood is the total point value of cards not in melds. You want it as low as possible. The deadwood badge below your hand always shows your current total. Next, button. Step 8 of 9. Time to knock. When your deadwood is 10 or less, you can knock to end the hand. The knock button appears below. Double tap it to knock and win this practice hand.
So the game consists of multiple hands, and whoever reaches 100 points first will win. And the way you score points is at the end of each hand, you look at the rival player's deadwood, and that gets added to your score. So the bigger their deadwood pile is, therefore, the more points you will get at the end of the hand when you get rid of your score.
Let's step 9 of 9. You're a natural. Great job. You've learned the basics. Draw card. Discard to reduce deadwood. And knock when you're ready. Quick reference. Back button is top left. Opponent info at top. Sort button below your cards. New melds are announced automatically. During a game, use magic tap. Two-finger double tap. To hear your current status, you'll also find a tips button and a rules button at the bottom of the game screen.
So that, in short, is Card World. It's quite simple once you know the rules of the game, and the good thing is you can either do one of these tutorials, which is really quick and simple, and I find that's the best way of learning a game, or you can read the rules as well if that's your preferred way. And you can play against the computer or against random players or against some of your friends if you know their username. It's quite simple. I like it. And most importantly, I look forward to see what other games will be added. But that is Card World. Let us know what you think. And we look forward to hearing from you. If there's any other games you would like us to demonstrate, also let us know.
And that is it from us this week. Thank you so much, as always, for listening. And if you've got any comments or questions or anything you want to share with us, any tips or anything that we can help you out with, let us know. techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Emails, or you can attach a voice message as well. Always welcome. We'll be back with you same time next week. But from me, Callum Stoneman, Hubert Pavalkovic and Jackie Brown, bye for now.
Goodbye.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.